Today on Real Life Radio.
If we open the Bible and ask Jesus to speak to us by the Holy Spirit from the Bible, do you think for one second he will withhold that prayer from you? Teenager, you're wondering if God's real or not? Open your Bible, get alone, and ask God, speak to me out of it. Do you think he's going to withhold that prayer request? He will speak.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 7. You know, time has a way of changing things and changing people. Time certainly has a way of affecting the church, but what happens when the church no longer has any influence? You know, there are churches that are not living for Christ, and they're dangerous spiritually. We've come now to the most sad and tragic letter of the seven letters in the book of Revelation. The church at Laodicea was pursuing wealth and proudly existing in their own strength. They knew of Jesus, but they didn't know him personally. The church at Laodicea was the only church that Jesus had really nothing good to say about. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that just like the church at Laodicea, we need to awaken ourselves back to life by putting our faith back into action. The church at Laodicea was neither cold nor hot about the things of God. We know that's not good at all. You see, a Christian who's grown lazy is no longer living for Christ or for the church. And now in his message called, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 7, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Well, the pastor at the church of Laodicea, it was better to keep things veiled, that they might better blend into the community. They had lost their zeal. And that's a tragic thing. Personally, I'm very excited about God. So are those on the staff of this church. So are they who attend this church by and large. They're excited about heaven. We're excited about the Bible, the Word of God. And we're excited about what God wants to do with us in the world. We believe that we need to, as Jesus said, be busy about our Father's business. He tells us that night is soon coming when no man can work, so we want to do all that we can for the Lord because we love him, because he first loved us. And so because of that calling, God has given us all an influence. But we need to get serious about the things of God. The angel of the church of Laodicea, the pastor. Don't get wiggy about the word angel. It means the minister or the pastor, the messenger of the church of Laodicea, the one who speaks to the people. Anglios, the messenger to the people. Number two, look at verse 14. As we near the end of the age as a church people, we need to be refocusing again on what is reality. Jesus tells the church at Laodicea, these things saith he, who is the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Because the pastor had erred, so the church had erred. And Jesus here is trying to get the man and the ministry back online. How does he do that? Jesus says, I'm talking to you, and I am the Amen. The word Amen, if somebody says Amen in a message, or, you know, I'll say something, or you'll hear someone in say something, and a brother or sister will say, well, Amen to that. What are they saying? It means let it be so, or that is true, or let it be. Okay? Let it be. Let it be, you know, amen, amen. Let it be so. That's true. That's right. So Jesus says to the church at Laodicea something radical to them. I'm speaking to you. I am the one who is the Amen. I am the truth. Let it be so. Jesus is saying. The faithful. Jesus saying, I'm the faithful. Why did he say that? Because the pastor in the ministry at Laodicea had not been faithful. Jesus says to them, I'm faithful. He's admonishing them to get back into the Bible and know what it says. How can you be a Christian and not know what the Bible says? I don't get that. That's like saying, well, you know, I know that person loves me over there. Well, how do you know that? I don't know. I just want them to. Well, of course you want them to. But how do you know if they do or not? Well, I'm a Christian. How can you say you're a Christian if you haven't read his word to find out who he is? Jesus is saying to them, I'm the one that's faithful. And he says, I'm the true witness. Jesus is saying by stating, I'm the true witness. Read about my life. You have the gospels, Jesus would say to them. Read them. The church at Laodicea could have read the Gospels. Jesus is saying to them, I am the reality. And look, the beginning of the creation of God, the word in the Greek is better like this. It's very powerful. When the word says the beginning of the creation of God, don't let a cult at your door fool you. Oh, see, Jesus was created. He was the first one created. That will only be a successful lie if you don't know what the Bible says. The beginning of the creation of God. Are you ready for this? Have you ever been to an orchestra or to a philharmonic or to some sort of a setting like that? Have you ever seen the conductor? Have you ever seen Zubin Mehta? You know who that guy is? I love watching those guys. All those people who are incredibly skilled, all the things that come, they're sitting there. They've got their instrument. And up walks the conductor. You ever wonder what that guy does with those sticks? Why does he get paid more than everybody else? Why does he have to spend more time in school than all those other people who play those instruments? This guy's, he's controlling the orchestra. And have you ever seen what he's doing? He's controlling that whole movement. And he goes like this and people move. And he's like that in the eye and they're watching. And he's going like this. He looks like a crazy guy. But everything that he's doing makes perfect sense. And I like when some of those guys get kind of funky. You ever seen them? They're going like this in their tuxedo. And then they'll go like this. Boom! And you hear there's a guy back in there. He doesn't do anything, but he stands back there. And na 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 na. He doesn't slam those cymbals together without the conductor going, whoop, and a little stick, and bang. The beginning of the creation of God. It means that Jesus Christ, so to speak, took out his batons and went like this. Earth, be. Over here, ocean, wham. Sky, boom. Throughout the Bible, beginning at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through to the end of the book of Revelation, the Bible says that Jesus is the creator of the physical universe. That is awesome, including angels who are not of the physical universe. Jesus made them. He is the starter of the creation of God, the originator. And Jesus is telling the church at Laodicea to get with the program and know that he is in control, to refocus on Christ the Savior, not the pastor at Laodicea, or for that matter, the pastor of any church. Verse 15, as we near the end of the age, we need to awaken ourselves back to life. That's the message Jesus is speaking to them. He says, I know your works. This is interesting. I know your works, and because of the construction of it, I know the works, the lack thereof. I know your works. You don't do anything. That you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So Jesus exposes the source of their problem. They had heart trouble. You could care less. That's what Jesus is saying. You claim to be a Christian, but you could care less about the hungry people in Pomona. You could care less that the church is doing this or that. You could care less that the church is offering hay rides in the mountains or this outreach to the beach or this trip somewhere, because you could just care less. You don't care. You don't care that there's people that are on the brink of losing their homes and we're trying to help them with their house payments. You don't care about it. You don't even want to hear stuff like that. Jesus says, you're Laodicean. You're not hot and you're not cold. You're so lukewarm, you don't care nothing about nothing. He says, I know your works. I wish you were cold or hot. Jesus is telling the church at Laodicea, you don't care about anything but your own life, yourself. You're not other-centered, which is the very definition of Christianity. You've left me. And there's people that file in and out of churches all over America, for that matter, all over the world. But I think it's predominant in the Western world, throughout Europe and here in the West. People just don't care. Jesus indicts them. Luke chapter 24, verse 32, they had lost their hot hearts. Luke 24, 32 says, and they said to one another, that is the disciples on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us while Jesus talked with us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures? Did you see the connection? People, nothing's changed in Luke 24, 32. It's still the same today. Church, listen, I plead with you who are desirous to be a Christian, which I speak to myself. If we open the Bible and ask Jesus to speak to us by the Holy Spirit from the Bible. Do you think, church, do you think he'll answer that prayer? Do you think for one second he will withhold that prayer from you? Teenager, you're wondering if God's real or not? Open your Bible, get alone, and ask God, speak to me out of it. Do you think he's going to withhold that prayer request? He will speak. You open the Bible as Jesus did on the way to the on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. And the, what was the result of the disciples? Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the Bible? Open the book. Jesus will speak. And you'll never have to be worried about becoming a Laodicean kind of a Christian. A careless Christian. Is that even possible? A Christian who's grown lazy is a Christian who no longer lives for God. Acts 18:25 says, Apollos had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was fervent in spirit. The word fervent in spirit in Acts 18:25 means that he was hot, boiling, glowing for God. Isn't that cool? I want to be hot, boiling, and glowing for God. Wouldn't that be fun? So, Pastor, you're scaring me. You're scaring me talking like that. Hey, I'd rather burn out for God than rust out on some shelf. Fervency, James 5:16. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now watch. Oh, well, I'm not a righteous man, so I'm not going to pray. You're righteous because God declares you righteous. I know you and I are sinners and we fail. That's not what James is talking about. He's talking about those who are Christians have been declared righteous by God. So pray, and pray fervently. Pray hot. Isn't that great? The word means boiling, glowing, hot prayers. You ever seen people or hear people, some people pray, Lord, we ask you to help us with our finances because we can't make our payments. People don't pray like that when their finances can't come together. Can you imagine if your child is nigh unto death, laying there in a hospital room? Jesus, what was I praying for? Can you heal my near-death dying child? Is that how you pray? Absolutely not. When you're in a crisis, don't you pray fervently? Isn't it as though you're grabbing onto the robe of Jesus and you're not going to let go? God loves that. Like a good parent, child grabs hold of your neck or hangs onto your clothes. I'm not going to let you go. Oh, parent loves that. God loves that. Fervency. 1 Peter 4:7-8. But the end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and watch in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for another. Hot, boiling, glowing love for each other. That's a church. We need to awaken ourselves back to life. That's done by putting our faith to action. And that was the scourge of the Laodicean church. They had a physical presence, but they had no spiritual propulsion. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for those who are mature believers, who by constant use, that is of the Bible, have trained themselves to distinguish what is good and evil in this world. That means we're going to take this Bible study today, and we're going to glean out of it what's of the Lord, throw away that which is from Jack, and we're going to take it and put it into practice this week. Mature food, meat, Bible, is for those who exercise the Scriptures. That is, you take it and you do it. Be not hearers of the word only, but what? Doers. That's how we grow. That's how we do not become a Laodicean kind of a church. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Here Jesus dramatically draws their attention to a very well-known problem. Their spiritual activity was lukewarm. He says in verse 15, I wish that you were either or neither. I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. Your room temperature. That's a very tragic thing. And so this is the casual approach, church, that they had regarding Jesus Christ. Second point this morning, verses 16 to 17, is this. What kind of a church are we when we take a closer look at what we are? What kind of a church are we when we take a closer look at what we are. Say, what are you saying? Examine ourselves in light of the scripture. This is what Jesus is pleading with us. Church, listen. Look, I may be boring. I may be putting you to sleep. That doesn't change the word of God. Don't raise your hand. But if I were to ask you to raise your hands, if I were to say, how many of you are Christians? And if you were to plop your hands straight up there to the sky, do you understand something? That what we're reading here in the, regarding the church of Laodicea is not optional reading to the Christian. Everybody understand that? Christians, you get that? It's not optional. Jesus, it's a letter he wrote to you and I, and he's saying, read it. Remember as we started this, these letters are to be written to all the churches, written and read. Though one was written to a church, it was to be read among the churches, remember, and blessed are those who read it and those who hear it. So when we take a closer look at ourselves, what do we see? Verses 16 and 17, so then, Jesus says, because, here comes the diagnosis, you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, verse 17, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I have need of nothing. Do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? Notice this in verses 16 and 17. Because you are, because you say. Wow. Contradictions. Jesus says, this is what you are. You're this way. You say you're like that. I say you're like this. Now, here's what's funny. You and I can argue with God about this. Well, I don't think so. Do you understand that his view of the way that it is frankly the way that it is? He is the Lord. Jesus says, this is the way that it is. I'm telling you that you are absolutely naked, poor, miserable, blind, and all that, but you say that you're wealthy and you're beautiful. Wow. What do we learn from this? That when we take a closer look at ourselves as a church, are we truly a blessing to Jesus Christ? Look at verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. This is a tragic thing because you know what the word here that is deleted from it, the construction of it, is that Jesus is not saying, there's a few of you who are right on, but most of you are lukewarm. Look what he says. He says categorically as the church, you are absolutely lukewarm. The church is completely poisoned by this lukewarmness. What do they look like, this lukewarmer kind of church? This is convicting. What do they look like? They look like you and me. They look like us. That's what they look like. How do we know? Because we're rich. We've got clothing. We have need of nothing. If God's blessed you, praise the Lord for that. But don't forget God. The Bible says when riches increase, be careful. Don't set your heart upon them. The Bible also says when riches increase, watch out. We forget God. So, what do they look like? What do these lukewarm Laodiceans look like? They look like us on the outside. We could line people up. Little mugshot thing, you know, we're all standing here in the line. All those of you who name the name Christian, step forward. They all step forward. We look fine. Jesus says, I can look inside your heart. I see everything. You look good, but inside it's very bad. A lot of hypocrisy, a lot of make-believe, a lot of pretense. A second thing that we look at in verse 16, when we take a closer look, are we someone who Jesus would want to be around? Are we someone who Jesus would want to fellowship with? Now look, I want to encourage all of you. You may be a prostitute that's wandered in off the street, or you may be a pride-puffed businessman and you think you've got the world by the tail. And both alienated from Christ, you're in deep trouble. Be encouraged with this. From one end of the moral spectrum to the other end of the moral spectrum, we need Jesus Christ, church. And here's the truth of the matter. It is this, that Jesus Christ desires to spend time with and to know each and every one of us from one end of that moral spectrum to the other. Did you know that? That's why when you read the Gospels, they are offensive to legalistic people. Did you know that? Why? Where do you see Jesus hanging out? Who do you see him trafficking with? Anybody? Sinners. Common people. Hookers. Tax collectors. IRS agents. Car salesmen. Computer brokers. Real estate agents. School teachers. Corporate executives. Trash men. Housewives. You name it. The only people you don't see, this is scary. The only people you don't see Jesus hanging out with are professional ministers. That's spooky. You might say, well, praise the Lord. Hey. He says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Strongest words by Christ using the Bible. Listen to this. Some of most of your Bible versions use the word vomit. That's pretty strong. It's not even close to what the word means. How many of you have the Old King James Version Bible? That's the Bible Jesus used. It's the right one. Old King James, anybody? I'm a total Old King James fan. I often misquote scriptures a lot because I'm reading out of the New King James, but it's all been stored in my head under the old. I have the old in my head. I have the new open up on my lap. The Authorized Version, you'd have to go back to 1610. And understand Queen's English, because what does your new King, what does your old King James Version say? Say it loud. Come on.
Spew.
Spew. Isn't that? Spew. Spew. I'm just gonna spew it out. It's a very gentle word. It's not good. You'd have to go back to 1610 to understand that spew. Ugh. They knew what spew meant. Now it's like, cool, man, spew, what, hey, whatever. No, today, that's why some of your newer translations use the word vomit. It's still mild. It's to, the whole construction of it is to bring a gross response. Jesus was trying to provoke them to repentance. I will violently project you out of my mouth is what the word means. You will come flying out of my mouth. Have you ever seen that happen when somebody drinks something normally like too hot? Or like I did a couple weeks ago when I got a cup of orange juice in between services and it was rotten. That's it. You're not hot. You're not cold. How about this? You want to put in context? How about we go get some hot cocoa and it's cold or lukewarm? There's nothing worse than lukewarm coffee. Laodicean coffee is lukewarm coffee. Some restaurants, they're bent on serving Laodicean coffee. How about this? How do you like lukewarm milk? Lukewarm. Jesus says, I hate it.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in his message called, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 7. Thanks for listening today. We're really glad you're here. What Kind of Church Are You? Part 7 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, just from the truth we've discovered in the Book of Revelation, we can see how God's love is woven throughout every verse. God has an amazing inheritance waiting for us through His Son Jesus Christ, and He wants you to know all about it. Salvation is only possible for those who give their lives to Jesus Christ. But if you're not sure how to go about that, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab that says Know God, that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll find the full meaning of what salvation in Jesus Christ is all about. There's even a way for you to email us and tell us all about your decision to follow Christ. Again, that's the tab labeled Know God, and you'll find it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.